Pastor, you fellowshipping too long? If Sister April could stand, she's Shelley Weber's roommate. This is actually her last service. She's moving to Fond du Lac, I believe. Moving back to Fond du Lac to be closer to family, has a job opportunity there. We're going to miss Sister April, and we'll give her a hand clap and let her know we appreciate her and that we're praying for your future endeavors, Sister April. Now, as a preacher, when the Holy Ghost starts moving, what a powerful move of the Holy Ghost we just had, amen? And you sit there and, you know, you prepare a message and you're excited, nervous, all at the same time to preach it, but God starts moving and having his way, and there comes a time where you eventually step back and you say, okay, God, you know, this is your show, not mine, and you come to terms with it, and you just enjoy the move of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we have a blowout service all the way to the end, and other times God's not done yet. And so God's not done yet here tonight, amen? And I just feel like God gave me this message for a reason. And I know that Brian, I kind of threw him in help's way, if you should say that, or servant's way with Brother Roy when Brother Roy came and asked me to preach tonight last week. And I said, yeah, I'll preach Sunday night, but you got to ask Brian to preach Sunday morning. So we're having fun. We're younger ministers, and it's just fun sometimes to all get together. Brother Mark preaching over there at the new daughter work, and it's just awesome just getting together with younger fellow ministers and doing it, you know. Amen. What we were trained to do, what we've been brought up to do, amen. And he preached a powerful message of faith this morning, and God laid a similar message on my heart. And so I'm going to start right now by reading 1 Samuel 14, 1 through 6. I'm very tired. It's been a long day, and there's some words in here that I'm not going to pronounce correctly. So you're just going to have to forgive me for that. And now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which was near Migron. And the people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, and the son of Eli. The Lord's priest in Shiloh was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of one was Bazez, and the name of the other was Senna. And the front one faced northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or few." And I just want to return quickly to that last portion of that last scripture, where Jonathan said, "It may be that the Lord will work for us." And tonight I want to preach just for a few short minutes with the help of the Lord, when all you have is a maybe. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for the outpouring of your Spirit that we've received in this house, God. Lord, but I believe that your work is not yet finished tonight, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help the living word to preach the written word tonight, God, and that it would fall upon hungry hearts and open minds, Jesus. Lord, challenge us in this place tonight, God, and continue this work that you've begun, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. In looking at the passage in 1 Samuel, Jonathan seemed to be in a situation of uncertainty. The future, the absolute direction that he needed for that present time was not clear. All he could say in verse 6 was, "It may be." He couldn't be sure one way or the other. He seemed to, and probably did, feel that it was the right thing to do, but uncertainty was revealed in his words. There seemed to be a possibility of some doubt, maybe. Doubt is the opposite of faith. In Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul talks about the armor of God. in that discussion, he speaks of taking the shield of faith. And we've all heard that at one time or another. And that shield of faith then quenches the fiery darts of the wicked and of the enemy. If doubt is the opposite of faith, amen, that when the enemy tries to hit us with those fiery darts, there are times that we get just hit with doubt. Have you ever been just hit with doubt? Doubt and uncertainty. We need the shield of faith, amen, to quench Satan's attempts to unravel our faith. And I believe it really strongly. I've been feeling this, that our faith has been tested, has been shaken. My faith has been tested. Over the last several months, you talk to people and their faith, they've come up against situations and circumstances where our faith is being tested and shaken, amen. But I also believe that there are times when we have uncertainties and doubts, if you will, when the enemy is not majorly involved, when it's not the devil doing it. Sometimes we like to give the devil all the credit, but sometimes it's just circumstances, amen. Sometimes there are times that we just aren't certain, or our situation or our future is just unclear. We don't know exactly what steps to take or the right moves to make. And so sometimes all we have is kind of a sense or a feeling, something abstract. We don't have anything concrete or sure. Most of the time, or in any area of our lives as human beings, we like the sure thing. We like to move when we say, Lord, open a door. Door open. Person approaches us. Ah, heaven opens and we know. That's what God wants us to do. But that's not always the way that it works. Amen. Sometimes we don't have the sure thing. Sometimes we don't have that sure thing. Amen. Because the sure thing doesn't require that faith. In Hebrews 11:6, faith is identified as a prerequisite for pleasing God. And the truth is that most of us will face in our walks with God more maybes than certainties. Amen. Sometimes all we have is a sense of what's right or a sense of what God's will is for our lives. Amen. Ecclesiastes 11 talks about not watching the wind and the clouds. And what does that mean? I believe it means not to get caught up in watching the natural circumstances. Don't get distracted by waiting for natural things to align themselves specifically. Listen, if all we ever do is wait on everything to perfectly align themselves, then we'll be waiting for the rest of our lives and never moving and never acting. Amen. If all we ever do is sit around and think about how bad we need things to line up in our lives, then we'll be sitting around waiting for things to line up in our lives for the rest of our lives. Amen. The metaphor used in Ecclesiastes 11 relates this truth to sowing and reaping. He who regards the wind will never sow, and he who observes the clouds will never reap. Whether sowing or reaping, we can't sit around and wait for that perfect situation or the perfect conditions before we take action. Amen. And if we wait to do anything for God until we are absolutely sure, then we'll miss out on a lot of miracles and a lot of blessings. Amen. Sometimes we have to move out on a maybe. And I'm not talking about a senseless action here. And I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes we think we have to just trust on God for every single whim to empower us to move into a situation. But sometimes God wants us to step out on the uncertainty and step out on the maybe. Amen. Sometimes that we won't be sure. We need to step out when all we have is a maybe. And I believe that the Lord would say, if you would begin to move out on a maybe tonight, then I will transform your maybe into a miracle. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. And that means to take a chance. Amen. That means to move out even when we're unsure, to move out on a maybe. That means that we might still have doubts and uncertainties about our circumstances or some reservations possibly. But if we move out on the maybe, then God can do an awesome work in our lives. If we move out on that maybe faith, church. So what are we going to do when we're not certain? Are we going to sit back and just wait on the natural circumstances to align in our lives? Are we going to sit back and wait for the natural circumstances to be perfect for our ministry expansions? No, sometimes when we have a feeling that God's calling us to move into a community and start a church, we have to act on that maybe faith. We don't know that the doors are going to be filled with people right off the bat, but it may be that if we move into that community, Pastor Mark, and we preach the word of faith and we preach the truth, that God is going to fill the doors and people are going to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so we act on that maybe faith. Jesus said, I am he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. And I believe that God can shut doors, amen, and that he can open doors that no man can shut or no man can open. How many of you believe that? Amen. However, I also believe that there are doors that God unlocks and leaves closed, waiting for us to act on that maybe faith, to push against that door on a feeling that we have, on a premonition that God is pushing us in a particular direction. Sometimes we have to have that faith to push on that door. He's not always going to swing it wide open and push us through it. We have to act. Amen. We have to push on that door a little bit. I believe that God will draw us to that unlocked door. Amen. And if you give yourself permission to try and sometimes fail, then God can do a great work in your life. It's when we're afraid of failing. It's when we're afraid of stepping out. I'm at that point in my life right now where I've been going through some things where God's calling me and God's speaking to me, and I'm not entirely 100% sure what the future holds. And sometimes that can be scary, but if I never move, if I never act, then what am I going to do? God's will never be performed in my life. If I just sit around and wait for God to just speak a word, to an audible voice from heaven and tell me which direction to go, then I may miss out on what God has for me. And I can't afford to sit around and wait. There's a pastor friend of mine, an evangelist friend of mine, and he just took over as pastor of a church, and we were talking, and I was just getting some advice from him, and he's a great friend of mine. I really listen to him and let him speak into my life, and he just told me, you know what, Carl? I'm an evangelist, and I love what I do for God. And you know, moving in and taking over a church, that isn't exactly what I planned. I love what I do. I get in my truck and I travel, and I preach at different churches, and it's awesome. And I love meeting new people. You know, so if you ask me right now, do I want to give all that up and go and pastor this church, these people that I'm just meeting? I tell you, no, my flesh doesn't want to do that. But I know that God's in it, because that's where the peace is. And we need to follow the peace of God in our lives. If you've been praying about something, if you've been seeking the face of God about something, and he hasn't spoken clearly into your life, but you feel peace, then you need to move. You need to act. You need to trust in that process. Amen. A man brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus to get him to cast the devil out. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. But the man replied, I believe. But he said, but help my unbelief. Now that seems some kind of like schizophrenic faith, you know. I believe, but help my unbelief. So you believe, but you don't believe. But I believe that he was saying, all I have is a maybe. I believe and I don't believe. I'm not sure, but I'm here. And God turned his maybe into a miracle. And I want to return to 1 Samuel 14 very quickly. The scene is that Jonathan and his armor bearer are coming to a place where they're facing a garrison of Philistines, the Bible says. And some believe that to be up to 250 armed men. And so you got to look at that situation. It was two against 250. An armor bearer and Jonathan. And Jonathan says, let us go over to him, because it may be that the Lord is going to do a work on our behalf. Now listen, an armor bearer, They just bear the armor. They don't even have their own sword. So then you got to think, okay, so it's two guys against 250 with one sword. What are they going to do? Swing it together? Take turns? And all these other 250 guys are armed. And there was only one sword against among them, and they wanted to attack. It wasn't just like, okay, let's hold up here and defend ourselves and see how long we can go. No, they wanted to go to them. They wanted to take their one sword between the two of them and take them on. And the armor bearer in verse 7 proves that he's just as crazy as Jonathan, because he says, I'm with you. Do whatever's in your heart. I pray right now, Lord, give us a church that's willing to act like that, and people that are willing to say, hey, you know what? I'm with you. Do what's in your heart, and I'm behind you. I'm with you every step of the way. If we have a church full of people like that, if we have pastoral staff full of pastors like that, then we're unstoppable. Then we can do anything. If our pastor says, hey, you want to know what? It's just us in the whole city of Madison. We're going. We're going into the communities. We're going and starting churches. We're going to do this right now, even when it seems like the whole world is against what we're preaching about. We're going. And then a bunch of people will say, you know what, Pastor? That sounds absolutely crazy. I'm with you. I'm going. Send me over there. We'll start one too. Amen. We got to get this in our spirits tonight that, hey, we may not have all the answers. We may not have all the solutions, but hey, I'm going to step out on a maybe and God will turn that into certainty. Amen. Hallelujah. These men were missing. They were in a place of insufficiency. They had insufficient personnel, insufficient weaponry or equipment, insufficient plans. They weren't equipped or able in the natural to do it, but they had that maybe faith. Amen. They had the faith in a maybe, and God intervened on their behalf, and he gave them the victory. He gave those men the victory. Amen. And I want everybody to stand tonight with me. If we could have the musicians please come. Listen. Church, I don't want to excuse my inactivity any longer or anybody else's inactivity to be excused any longer. I'm done with giving lame excuses on why I haven't done what God's called me to do or why I've lacked here or slacked here. I'm tired of that. I'm done with that. I want to move forward. I'm ready to step out on a maybe. Amen. I'm ready to step out into uncertainty because I want to see what God has for me. And I want to see what God has for this church and our community. And it may cost me stepping out and being a little scared sometimes and being a little uncertain sometimes. And it may cause me falling on my face sometimes and embarrassing myself or failing sometimes. Amen. But God is going to do something awesome. And I believe that. I know he's going to do something awesome in my life. I know he's going to do something awesome in my wife's life and in our ministry. And if we would just get this into our spirits tonight and step out on a maybe, that I believe that God is going to do that work. Amen. If you've been uncertain about what God's called you to do, if God's been speaking to you and you haven't been involved in a ministry like you should, you got to step out. You got to get involved. Amen. Some of us, we don't have any time on our hands, and some of us have all the time in the world. Hey, I'm serious. We need to all get involved in this. We need to all share the load in this. Amen? Because God wants to bless the whole church. God wants to move the whole church forward. It can't just be a group of people who are passionate and move and the rest just sit there. No, it's got to be the whole church. I want my whole family to move forward. Praise God that this sister didn't get bashed in the head with this speaker. He was looking out for you. Praise God. And I just, as the musicians begin to sing, I just want us to lift our hands right now and just remember that presence that we felt. It was moving in this place earlier. And just remember how we felt that God was calling us, moving upon us. And as we begin to pray and we begin to lift up the name of the Lord, I want you to search your soul, search your heart, reflect on your life. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would move upon me, God, that you would move upon this congregation, Lord Jesus. God, that you would give us a boldness in this place tonight, God. Oh, that you would give us a strength, God, to step out, Lord God, in a maybe situation, God. Lord, in a situation of uncertainty, Lord God, that we would just take that step of faith, God. Lord, that we would push on that door, Lord God. I believe that you've gone through and you've unlocked doors in all of our lives, God, that you would give us the faith, Lord God, to push against those doors, God, and to walk through them, Lord Jesus, God. I know that the Lord will give us strength in uncertainty. I know that the Lord will be there on our behalf and be with us every step of the way. There have been times when I've stepped out and I've thought, man, this is crazy. I don't know what I'm doing. I remember a specific time. I had a message all written out, and it was in a youth service, and some of the older youth might remember this. It was probably, I thought, one of the most embarrassing times in my life. But I felt like God said, change your message. And I hadn't been preaching that long. And I'm like, man, this is no good. I can't do this. And so I tossed the notes aside and I went up and I fumbled around. And it was bad. It was bad news. And it was a bad deal. And it came all to a crash at the end. And I just finally said, you know what, youth? Sometimes you got to be able to get up here and try and fail for God. Because trying and failing for God, sometimes it's better than succeeding in the world, you know. And I just went down and fell on the ground and started crying and praying. Bishop Grant had snuck his way into the back of the service, so that made everything even worse. I was like, oh, great. in front of Bishop. Oh my. And I had just been on my face crying and apologizing to God that I did a terrible job, you know. And Bishop came up to me and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "I want you to look around you, son." And I looked around. It was just a room full of young people just crying and weeping and praying. The Holy Ghost fell. Everybody began to speak in tongues. The Spirit moved, dancing. And he said, "Listen, you never fail when you do something for God. When you do something for God, it is never a failure." And we need that faith. We need that faith. We can't be scared when we're looking in the face of the world. We need the faith that God's got us no matter what. That it doesn't matter if it came off as polished as it should. It doesn't matter if it comes off as exquisite as it should. But if we do something for God, then God's going to step in and God does the miraculous. We do what we can do in our flesh, and we do what we can do as a human being, but God steps in and He takes it the next level. It's God that does it. And I just wonder who's willing to step out tonight. If you just have a maybe situation in your life, if you're looking at health issues and you're looking at a maybe situation, it might be that I'll be better or it might be that I won't, then you need to step out in faith tonight, and God's going to turn your maybe into a miracle. You may feel like, we got a prayer request here tonight. In Jesus' name. We have Dave Shroud is in the hospital, right? He's taken to the hospital with very high blood pressure. We need to pray for Dave Shroud right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray, Lord, right now for Dave Shroud, for our brother, Lord God. He's been taken to the hospital, Lord. God, I pray, Jesus, that you would touch that blood pressure, God, that you would touch his body and touch his system, Lord. Right now, God, bring that blood pressure, Lord, back to the range that it needs to be, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would touch him, Lord Jesus. God, bring healing to his body, Lord. Bring everything back into balance. In Jesus' name we pray, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You might be a visitor here tonight, or you might be a first-time CIP visitor here tonight. And it may be that after the move of the Spirit and this message, that you may be thinking, we're crazy. And you may be right. We're crazy for Jesus, amen. But I believe that if you step out in faith tonight, that maybe God can do a work in your life and do an awesome work in your life and prove himself to you. Amen. He can show himself to you, reveal himself to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. He can be your ever-present strength in time of need. He can be your comforter. He can be your healer.